Man, so as our ushers come, that's what giving does. Sometimes we wonder, does it really matter if I give? God can do some pretty amazing things, sometimes real quick. And just kind of cool how that story is. We heard that last night. He usually calls us around 3:30, 4:30, and that's usually like 10:30 or so over in England, and just kind of tell us what's going on there. But good to see that God does some neat little things as we respond, as we give. And God can do that for you as you give here today as well. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you that, Lord, they have been faithful and they have been giving. And I pray that, Lord, you would open up those windows of heaven and that you would start pouring out blessings that, Lord, will totally surprise them and overwhelm them, Lord. And I pray, God, not just in our offering, but, Lord, as we work this program up in June of just doing some random acts of kindness, sharing the light, Father, I pray that you're going to use these things to bring glory and honor to Christ. But, Father, I also pray that there will be a reward. I also pray that, Lord, it would come back to us, as your word says, that, Lord, as you give, it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so, Lord, we just want to welcome that in the name of Jesus. We welcome that blessing over your people here today, and we just ask you to bless them as they give. In Jesus' name, amen. So bless you as you give today. And I don't know if I'm a little bit too loud. It sounds like I'm too loud up front. I don't know if it's sounding loud down there, but I don't want to scare you out of here. Do you remember our young people as they travel back tomorrow? They did YC a little bit differently this year, starting it on Saturday morning. So our kids were here at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. We prayed for them on the bus, and they'll be back sometime tomorrow afternoon or evening. I'm not exactly sure except when they get back, but if you're one of those parents, you know that they're coming. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you turn with me to Matthew 26, 36 to 46. I want to say thank you for coming to church today. And being a long weekend and finally having a nice long weekend. It's really good that you are here in church. And I know we have a lot of people that are camping and people at YC. And some parents are just enjoying the fact that their teenagers are gone and they're out enjoying themselves. And so that's okay. We got something for you here today. I want to talk about when life gets hard. And unfortunately, that's something that's very true that happens to all of us, that sometimes life is hard. It's not easy. And I want to talk about that here this morning using the scripture found in Matthew 26, 36 to 46. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. It should be it's on the screen there as well. So you'll be able to follow along on the screen. I'm using a New Living Translation. If you got another translation, that's fine as well. I think you should be able to follow along. It says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. My betrayer is here. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that, Lord, that you are concerned about us. I thank you that, Lord, that you are with us in our good times and you're also with us in our bad times. I thank you that, Lord, that through Scripture you give us encouragement as we realize that even as a Christ child, that you went through trauma, you went through hardship, you even went through death for us. So I just pray that, Lord, you just speak this word to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning is Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost Sunday is about celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit found in the book of Acts. And I was really, that's where I was going to go this morning. I wanted to preach on that and talk about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does for us. But I just found myself coming back to this portion of Scripture and just felt the Lord wanted me to talk about this. And as we talk about Gethsemane, a very real place, it's often just as the Bible describes it, it's kind of a secluded place, a quiet place, an olive grove, and kind of a garden, things all around you. If you come to Israel with us in March, we'll be having a meeting here either next week or the following week about that. I should have the prices then. You will be able to go to that very place where Jesus knelt down and he prayed. And actually, they even say, here's the rock that Jesus prayed on in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it's quite an interesting place. But anyway, this morning I want to take that story and share with you about times in our lives when life gets hard. And unfortunately, we all face times in our lives when we go through difficult and stressful, hard situations. They're not welcome times in our lives, and you know, sometimes it might be a medical issue we go through, sometimes a death, a suicide, sometimes a marriage breakup, a divorce, a family issue, relationship issues, loss of a friend, loss of a family member, a spouse, financial crisis, sickness, disease, depression, abuse, and that list goes on and on and on. And if we put a blank there, there's just so many words that we could put in its place that makes life hard. And maybe for you here this morning, maybe you're going through something like that. Maybe I didn't mention the exact thing you're going through, but as soon as I said that a hard time, that there's something in your mind that clicked really quick to say that, yeah, this is what's going on in my life. So those are not welcome times at all. And as we go through those times, it gets stressful, and it gets us to the place that we get discouraged, we get down, but ultimately, we have to deal with it. We have to face it, no matter what we're going through. Now, the story about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane shows us Jesus was under that kind of stress, that life was becoming hard, and the reason for his coming was now at hand. The cross was before him, suffering was before him, death was before him. The Bible says his soul was crushed with grief to the point of death. Our Lord and Savior, he was at an all-time low. We don't see him in this state of mind at any other time as we read about Jesus in the gospel. But at this time in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that his heart is crushed. But yet we see that Jesus ended up doing what he always did when he needed strength to face those hard times of life. He went aside and he prayed and bore his heart before God. And that's something that all of us here need to do as well, that when we're faced with the difficulties of life, it's time to turn to God. It's time to pray to God. Now, maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe some things are going on in your life, and you kind of thought to yourself, well, maybe I'll give God a try. Maybe I'll come to church this morning and just see that maybe it would help if I look to God. And my friend, today I want to encourage you that, yes, it does make a difference, that we would look to God, that we would call on God, and that we would pray. We might say today, well, I really don't know how to pray. The point is that we need to pray and just express ourselves and bear our souls to God, no matter what words may come out of our mouth. And we also need to realize that when we go through difficult times, we really, really, really need to pray. More than just a few minutes, but taking prayer just as serious as the situation is serious. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, could you not pray with me even 1 hour? Now, had the disciples realized, had the disciples understood what was really going to happen that very night, they would have really stayed awake. They would have really prayed. But even though Jesus was trying to tell them what was going on, it just didn't click in their minds. And they just didn't take the time as serious as it really was. In serious situations, there needs to be serious prayer. When life gets hard, prayer becomes even more important. Unfortunately, when it comes to prayer, we pray little and we complain a lot. We need to realize if we want to see answers come for the hardships of our lives, then we really need to get back to prayer. We need to get back to real prayer, where we pray more than just a little devotional time, but take that extra effort to fast, to spend time seeking God about the situation that we're facing. You know, so often we spend time everywhere else except for the one thing that we really need to do, and that's to pray. If you really want help when life is hard, you need to set aside time to pray. And friend, there's a call of prayer that is going out in our world today. It is going out to the nations. It's going out to our province. It's going out to our churches. It's going out to this very church that you're in here today. There's lots of prayer movements that are rising up right now across the world, causing people to pray. Lou Engle, a great man of God, the cry in the USA, the cry in Canada, Prayer Storm, the one that my son Michael went to. People are responding to prayer all over the world. And even as we look at this church, there are people that are responding to prayer and this church. There's people that are coming in this church during the day. There's people coming to this church during the nighttime. There's people coming to church during their noon hours, and they're praying. Nobody's telling them they have to pray. They're just coming and they're praying. God's calling them. I'm not calling them. God's calling them. And they're responding to the voice of God to respond, to come, and to pray. And I think we all need to do that. Tonight, I know it's a long weekend. If you've got plans, that's fine. The church will be open if you want to come for prayer tonight. I realize it's a holiday weekend, and if you've got other things, that's fine. But there is prayer. Sometimes, you know, it really comes down to how bad do you want God to intervene in your situation? We often express it with our mouths that we say, God, you need to help. Like, God, you need to do things. But the reality is, well, how much have you prayed about it? How much have you sought God about it? You know, we're so good with our opinions, so good with our expressions and our comments. Well, how much did you pray about it? How much did you pray about it? See, Jesus gave us such a good example throughout his life, throughout his ministry, that every time there was something that was difficult or hard, constantly he did the same thing. He went aside and he prayed. And even in this passage here, one of his most difficult times in his life, realizing that he's about to fulfill his mission to go to a cross, to die for our sins, and to go through all that torture, he realized his time was at hand. But what did he do? He went and he prayed. And he gives us that example that when life is hard, that's what we need to do. Even though it might be difficult, even though we don't feel like doing it, it's what we need to do. And as you look at this story, Gethsemane, I really see a pattern here that Jesus gives us that when life is hard, there are some things that we should be asking God for. And so this morning, I hope to help you just to use this as a guideline for you when you pray and when you're facing a difficulty or you're facing a hardship, that you would bring these things to God to ask him for your help. So some great things here to ask God in prayer when you're going through a difficult or a hard time. Now, the first thing you need to do when life gets hard is ask God for people to be with you, to surround you. You know, it's very hard to go through difficult times alone. And the enemy of your soul will try to make that happen. The enemy of your soul will try to make sure you're alone. And if you're not alone, he'll try his best to make sure that you feel alone. And we've heard of so many tragedies in our world because people feel alone. That's one of the reasons why sometimes people come to church, they feel alone. They're looking to see, does anybody care? We need to be showing the people that come to this church that we care. We really do. When you go through a hard time, one of the things we need to ask for, God, would you bring someone in my path? Would you bring me someone that I can talk to? Will you bring me someone that I can pray with or they can pray for me, that I can have support from some living flesh? We do know that we get that support from God. We know that God will comfort. We know God will help us, but sometimes we just need that natural, real person to be there in those difficult times. Now, Jesus, he had 12 disciples, but in this difficult time, he asked for only three of them, three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, to go with him and be with him as he laid his soul bare. Matthew 26, 37, 38 tells us that part of the story. It says, he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. See, in hard times, there are only certain people you should share with. That's a lesson we all learn from maybe going through other hard times in our lives and we shared with the wrong people. And those people were really there to support us. They didn't help us at all. And we kind of learned a valuable lesson that the next time, that's not the person you talk to. So it's something that we need to understand, that you need the right people around you. People that will listen to you. People that will not judge you, but rather be there to help you and pray with you. So when you come to this area, you need to choose people wisely. We all need that human fellowship. We all need that human support. And so when we go through those hard times in our lives, ask God, Lord, show me the people I need to surround myself with. Show me the people that I can talk with. Lord, would you even bring up, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't have any friends. I don't got anybody that I could call on. Honest, Pastor, I'm being honest with you. I don't feel I have anybody. Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot of good people right here in this church that you could call on, that you could talk to. There's lots of people around. Ask God, bring that person in my path, Lord. I need a person that can come into my path that will support me and help me and listen to me, understand me, pray with me. So that's one of the first things that we see Jesus do in this occasion when he's going through this very difficult time in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, simply ask, would you just spend some time with me? Would you come and watch with me? And we need that too. We need people around us that will just come and be a support to us, that we can share with them, pray with them. They can pray for us. They can give us counsel. They can give us guidance. Sometimes we just need people to listen. Sometimes you don't need guidance. It's just someone that'll listen to you, not judge you, but yet will pray for you. Secondly, when life gets hard, we need to go to prayer and ask our Heavenly Father's intervention. Jesus says in Matthew 26, 39, he went a little further and bowed with his face to the ground praying, my Father, my Father. See, we need to realize that we have a Father in heaven, a Father that cares about us, a Father that loves us, a Father that wants to be involved in our lives. And as those words were being expressed by Jesus, they're words that were speaking of intimacy. It's my Father. I'm going to talk to my Father. When you go through hard and difficult times, talk to your Heavenly Father. because it's the Father that gets results. And that's what faith will do. A confidence will grow up inside of you, and that will build you up to have faith that my Father is going to intervene. And see, Jesus taught this principle more than just here. You may remember the Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer. Probably even people that don't go to church usually know the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:9. This is the New Living Translation. So it's a little bit different. It says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The King James Version. Our Father. Cry out to your Father. Jesus says, when you pray, cry out to your Father in heaven. Bring the situation to him. And just as a earthly father would be interested in what goes on in our lives and is willing and wants to help us, remember, our heavenly Father also wants to help us. And remember, the Bible says we are his children. The Bible says that he actually loves us as his children. And so when we go through difficult times, cry out to our Father. I'm crying out to you, Father God, that you would help me. It's kind of like as kids, right? When we got in trouble, I want to tell my dad. I'm going to tell my father. You're in big trouble because my father is bigger than your father. My father is stronger than your father. I'm like, you're in trouble, mister, because I'm going to tell my father. That's what Jesus was doing. Tell the Father. Cry out to the Father. Cry out to him. When big trouble comes, go to the top. Go to the top of the Godhead, the Father. So that's another thing that we can do when we go through those serious times and hardships in our lives. Go to the Father. Cry out to the Father. Thirdly, when life is hard, we need to go to God in prayer, asking for the problem to be removed. And here we need to be precise. We need to tell God exactly what we're asking for. We need to say to God, God, I want this out of my life. I can't handle this anymore, Lord. I don't want to keep going through this. Lord, you need to come and remove this situation, this circumstance out of my life. It's easy, interesting that Jesus was doing that here in this passage of Scripture. Matthew 26:39. He went a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. See, it's okay to ask God for that problem to be dealt with, to be taken care of, to be removed from our lives. As we all can only handle so much. We're only human, and not every problem I know can, you know, it can develop perseverance in us, can help make us stronger and all those kinds of things. Well, not every problem does that. Sometimes hard problems bring us so low that we're so discouraged that we want to quit, that we just want to give up. And we see even Jesus is saying, Lord, you know, if it's possible, could you just take this problem away? Take care of it. Take care of this situation. So you're asking God to intervene, deal with the situation. And we need to realize that some situations can only be changed by God himself. Sometimes you get in those situations where you do everything possible in the natural. And we need to do that. We need to do everything in the natural to solve a situation or to solve a problem. But sometimes even when you do everything possible in the natural, nothing changes. That's where we need God's intervention. I say, God, I've done what I can do. I don't know what else I can do. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this to you. Ask him to remove it. Or at least ask for a way out, especially when you're at that place where you can no longer handle it. I like 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. You know, a lot of times we read that passage of Scripture and say, hey, God, like, why aren't you doing it? And I think sometimes God's saying back, and hey, individual, why aren't you praying about it? Why aren't you even asking me? Why don't you pray? Why don't you ask? You know, there are things that we go through in life where sometimes we do get that place where we just say, I can't handle it anymore. Like, I'm done. That's it. But the Bible says when we get to that place, God says, I will show you a way out. And that just doesn't come always quickly. Sometimes we got to pray and we got to seek the Lord to say, then Lord, show me that way out. Show me what I need to do. And that's going to require effort on our part, seeking on our part, and where there's an openness that we can receive what God may be saying to us that we can endure. But as we bring the problem to God, say, God, I had it. I need this problem to be removed. It's okay to pray that, to ask God to come into that situation and sovereignly undertake to take control of the situation and the circumstance and intervene with an act of God. Number four, when life gets hard, ask for the will of God to be done. Ask what God wants to do in this situation. Matthew 26, 39, and also verse 42 says, Jesus went a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. But then he adds these words, Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then Jesus in verse 42 says, Left them a second time and prayed, My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus was presenting to the Father the answer kind of to what he was praying. Lord, this is kind of my options that I'm thinking about. I would like this to be removed. But then Jesus did what he always did, but. And sometimes we got to remember the but. If it's your will. If it's your will. Jesus fulfilled the will of the Father. Jesus was always about the will of the Father, doing the things that only the Father willed. Even as he went around doing miracles and signs and wonders, he only did those things when he knew that this is what the Father wanted to be done. I think if we would learn to be listening to our Heavenly Father and the will of the Father, I think we would be operating far better in the areas of miracles and healings as we hear his voice say, I'm going to heal that person, that we would then be able to jump on top of that and act upon it. For Jesus, he knew what was coming. And so he was asking, Father, could you take this away? But he realized that the Father wasn't going to do that. See, sometimes when we ask God to remove situations from our lives, sometimes God might say no. Because there's something else that's going to take place because of what you're going through. We don't always see as God sees. We don't see the future, but God knows the future. God knows what is best for us. But anyway, Jesus was saying that if there's any other way, I would prefer to take it than what I have to go through. But thankfully, Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. He was obedient to the cross. He submitted himself to the will of God, and he followed the Father's will all the way. You know, sometimes when we pray and present our prayers to God, and we're praying for an answer, have you ever noticed how often as we pray for that answer that we kind of tell God what that answer should be? Have you ever noticed that? That as we pray, we do that. I do it. We all do it. And we're praying, God, I want you to intervene, and this is how I want you to intervene in my situation. And we just speak that in faith, and that's important to do, because I believe majority of times that assumption is right. We know what to pray. We know what is the solution, and we should be praying for that. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we think we know what the solution is, and God has a totally different idea. And that's why praying the will of God is quite important. That's something that I pray myself. And when I pray that, I often tell God, Lord, I submit myself to your will. Because sometimes I don't like what he tells me. I already had my idea of how that should be answered. And he decides to answer differently. And so I say to the Lord, Lord, I do want your will to be done, and I will submit to your will being done. So praying God's will over your life is not always easy, but it needs to be done. And as we do that, we will experience the peace that will come and encourage us and fill us and empower us. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He submitted himself to doing that will. And he even tells us again, take the Lord's Prayer. May your kingdom come soon, Matthew 6:10. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is not just teaching us this principle in the prayer of Gethsemane. He's teaching this prayer in the Lord's Prayer that he gave us to pray. That he's telling us the will of God is very important. You need to be praying for God's will. How is the will of God done in heaven? Complete obedience. Complete obedience. It's not open for discussion. We think so much of life is open for discussion. And we have all these discussions with God, and when God is absolute, no, this is the way it is to be. It's an absolute. The will of God needs to be prayed. As it is in heaven, so it will be here on earth. We need to be praying that. God knows best. See, God knows things that I don't know. God sees things that I don't see. God knows my future. God knows how this situation is going to turn around before I do. We just, complain a lot sometimes. If we're honest, we do. We complain a lot when we go through our trials and we go through those troubles. And if we would pray and say, God, your will be done, there will be a peace that come that will stop the torment and will stop the frustration. When you just kind of have a peace that, you know what, it's going to work out. The will of God's going to be done here. God's going to see us through. So we need to be careful as we pray that we just don't get caught up in praying our will. We need to be praying God's will to be done. And sometimes that can make a huge difference in our prayers. And it can also make a huge difference in redirecting us and how we should be praying. Because again, so often we kind of have in our minds that this is how it should be done. This is how it should be dealt with. And we kind of pray that, where God might be saying, no, that's not how it is. You need to find my will and pray the will of God. Number five, when life gets hard, pray and ask for strength. It's not a sign of weakness or a lack of spirituality to ask for strength. Rather, it's a smart thing to do to recognize that we do have limitations, that we're only human, and to ask God, I need an impartation that I might be able to continue to pray. Jesus did that, Matthew 26:40-41 in Gethsemane. And he returned to his disciples and he found them asleep and he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. That describes us so well. Spirit is willing, body's weak. We want to do it, yeah, in the spirit. Yes, let's do it. And then when it comes to the reality of acting it out, we don't do it. So we can be all charged up and think, yeah, amen, yeah, that's what we got to do, yeah, God. And then we do absolutely nothing. So often we don't even bother to pray or to spend an extra time in prayer when we go through a difficult time. Sometimes we just think, well, I can't do that. Like, I can't pray that. Are you kidding me? Pray for an hour? Like, you got to be crazy. How in the world could I pray for 1 hour? Like that's, I get 10 minutes and I'm all done. God says, pray for strength. Pray that God would strengthen you and help you to pray. Start in the natural. And as you start in the natural, often strength comes that you can continue to pray. As I said, Judy shared earlier, her son, they had that 7-8 hour thing over there in Manchester praying. You can do it if you set your mind to do it. Verse 41 describes many Christians' experience that we do say, yes, the Spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. That's our humanity. And often we say, and we are, the truth is, we are busy. We really are. Look at this weekend, and you had all these things you wanted to do this weekend. You're probably not even halfway through those things you wanted to do this weekend because you're busy. We also get tired. And we, when it comes down to it, we just don't want to put the time in, and we allow our excuses to rule our decisions. And we think those excuses are good enough to pardon us that, oh, don't worry about it. It's not going to make a difference anyway if you pray. No, we need to pray. We need to pray. Because when we don't bother to pray, then we also fail to get the answers that we need. See, we need to get more serious about prayer, especially if you're facing hard and difficult times. Complaining will not change anything. It feels very good to complain. It really does, doesn't it? Doesn't change a thing. Being critical. Sometimes you feel good that you can be critical and get your opinion out there. Doesn't change a thing. By getting serious in prayer, can change the whole world. It can change the whole world. God doesn't want us to fall. God doesn't want us to fail. God doesn't want us to miss what he has for us. But we need to step up in that regards to prayer, and he will strengthen us as we do. If we read the story of Gethsemane from Luke's account, we'll see that Jesus was strengthened from this prayer. And he was able to pray as he received that strength to even a greater degree. Luke 22, 43, 44, Luke's account of Gethsemane. And it says that Jesus was praying, and then we cut in here. It says, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. When Jesus needed strength, he prayed. And he received prayer. An angel was actually sent to strengthen him. Friends, when you go through your hard times and times where it's very difficult, if you would set your heart to pray, there could even be angelic ministry that could come into your very room and minister to you and help you and where God strengthens you. Friends, it's only with God's help that we can raise the level of prayer that is needed. And we need that help. We need that strength to pray and that we might pray effectively. The Apostle Paul said as he's experienced that, he says in Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. He's the one that gives you the strength. It's not you that gives the strength. You start in the natural, and all of a sudden there's a supernatural strength that comes that enables you to pray like never before. So don't just pray in your own strength. Ask for the strength and impartation of the Holy Spirit that you might pray more. And then lastly, when life is tough, pray and pray and pray repeatedly. See, we give up so easily when the reward and the answer comes when we pray with persistence. Again, let's look how Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. Verse 39. He went a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. That's the first occasion. Then down to verse 42. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. Then down to 44. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. When hard times come, you need to keep on praying. A one-shot prayer doesn't do it. You got to keep praying. Got to keep asking. Don't give up with just one prayer request. Keep seeking the Lord. Do some fasting. Inconvenience yourself to pray more. Change your priorities. See, we need to show God that this is important. That it's important. I think God sometimes is asking us, well, how important is this to you? I see that you're going through a hard time. I see that you're facing some difficulties. But I really don't see you coming to me. I just see you complaining. I just see you criticizing. I just see you saying your opinions. I don't see you coming before me and praying. We need to learn how to pray and to pray repeatedly, to come back, to not to give up and say, I'm coming back again. Lord, it's me again. Remember yesterday when I prayed about this certain thing, I'm back today and I'm going to pray it again. And before you go to bed, God, I'm here again. Hello. I'm praying again, Lord, about this situation. I haven't seen an answer, so I'm praying it again, Lord. I'm repeating that prayer. You don't give up. That's what Jesus encourages us to do here. Three times he went back and prayed. So persistence is very important. Listen to the story of the widow who received justice because she continued to come back to the judge and she refused to have no as an answer. Luke 18, 6 to 7 kind of picks up that story where Jesus says, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people to cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? How bad do you want that prayer request answered? Effort's required. Persistence is required. Repetition is required. You keep coming back to God. Keep saying, God, I'm not giving up on this. I'm back here again. I'm going to come back tonight too, God. I'm going to be back here in the morning, God. I'm going to keep coming back until I hear from you. We need to do that. That's true and effective prayer that gets answers. If we will only spend the time in prayer that we would spend in complaining, we would see amazing things start to happen. Matthew 7, 7, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. The Bible is filled with examples of this truth. When you're facing hard times, pray and then start asking repeatedly. You don't get that answer, then come again. Come again. Come again. Come again. Keep coming back for that answer. Keep asking. So this morning, I hope this has helped you in regards to what you need to do and what you need to ask God in those times of prayer. Just kind of take that passage of Gethsemane and, you know, you can just kind of lay that Bible beside you and you look at those verses again and you can just start praying some of these things. I guarantee you it'll take you more than your normal 5 minutes. All of a sudden, it'll go a little bit longer because you're going to start applying those things. Try praying like Jesus prayed. Ask God to send you someone. I think that's important. There's some of you here today that you're at that place where you feel very alone. You need to be asking, God, I need somebody. I need you to put somebody in my path, or I need to be introduced to somebody that's going to help me, encourage me, listen to me, and pray with me and be a support to me. God wants to bring that person in your life. As you pray, go to your Heavenly Father. He is a Father that's not going to let you down. He loves you. He cares about you. You need to go to Him. Ask for that situation, that problem, person, whatever it is. Lord, this situation has to change. It has to be removed. Ask for the will of God. And then when you realize what the will of God is, that you are ready to say, okay, Lord, I don't like it, but I'm going to submit myself to it. Ask for strength. Ask repeatedly. Don't give up. I just sense this morning there's been a number of you, you've kind of given up asking. You have been praying, but you kind of gave up. Kind of got a little bit critical. Kind of went down the complaining road. A little bit upset with God. Saying, God, how come you haven't heard my prayer? And I think the Lord's saying to us, I've heard your prayer, but I'm waiting to see how bad you want it answered. Let's show them that we want our prayers answered. Let's show them that these things are important to us. And let's call out to him. Let's raise that prayer level. Because I believe he wants to strengthen us. I believe he wants, even in this house, to bring us into a whole new dynamic of experiencing him and experiencing results and experiencing answers to prayer. But we need to be willing to inconvenience ourselves to step out and pray. And as we close here this morning, we can start that by, you know, as the musicians are coming back to the instruments, we can start by just simply coming up here and praying this morning. Just saying, God, I need your help. That can be our first step. Another step could be coming out on Wednesday night. And let's just walk. You know, we're not going to be shouting and things like that as we're praying, unless God kind of tells us to do so. We're just going to walk and pray as we walk along there and just believe God for great things for our community. Praying over a community that God would move in mighty, mighty ways. Or come this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Two individuals. God's been using them greatly. They've been a huge blessing to Judy and I. Tremendous blessing to us. They can be a tremendous blessing to you, but you got to be here to experience it. You're going to be here Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. And use this prayer. I know that there's some folks here going through some pretty hard times. God wants you to know he sees you. He sees you. But I believe he's also saying, I want to see how much you want this. He's wanting to teach us to go a bit further, go a bit deeper, cry out some more. Because there's some things God is wanting to release over this community and over this church. But we got to contend for it. We got to contend for it. We got to want it. And it will come. I was talking with a person this week, and they were sharing with me about a vision that they just got real quick. And in their vision, they said, there's like a shaking and a sifting that's going on in your church. And he said, it's like there's a crevice. And these crevices are opening up around you. But it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's allowing the sand that's hiding what God's wanting for your church and community to start to sift away. And he says, and as it does, you're going to see what God really wants. Not just for your church, but the community will also see it. So he's wanting to draw us closer. He's wanting to draw us closer. I know sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes we get mad and we get discouraged. We even get upset with God. And if we're not careful, that can lead to criticalness. And that's not a good place. You don't want to go there. It's not a good place. But rather to say, okay, get stubborn for God. Don't get stubborn about yourself. Get stubborn for God. Say, okay, I'm going for this. I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep asking. I'm not giving up until I see that answer. That's the kind of stuff that'll change your world. That's the kind of stuff that's going to change your atmosphere, change the situation that you're in. Doesn't matter if you're here for the first time or whether you've been part of this church your whole life. When we go through hard times, he's the one you need to call upon. And if you're here today, obviously, that's what God was doing. He was drawing you to this place. He wanted you to be here so you could hear a message just like this. Say, yeah, you're in the right place. Call on me. If you call on me, I will answer. I will help you. I will deliver you. I will bring that breakthrough that you need, but you need to pray. You need to step aside and say, okay, I'm getting serious with this. No more excuses. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to change my priorities. I'm going to inconvenience myself, and I'm going to pray and call on heaven, and we're going to see some things happen. Amen. encourage you to do that today. As we close here this morning, Cynthia's just closing us with a song here. If you need prayer, we welcome you to come to the front. We'll gladly pray with you. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. You just have to be in the house. So if you're in the house, you need prayer, feel free to come forward. We'll pray with you. Come tonight if you happen to be free. If you don't have other plans, we're just going to be here. We're just going to pray. Nothing, no format or anything. We're just going to just be here and pray. But if you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. Or come at other times at church. If you got a key or if you know someone with a key, why don't you just come with them and pray and just ask God. He wants to answer your prayers. You need to know that. He's just looking for us to take a step where we show him that we're serious. And he'll show us that he's serious as well. Bless you. Thank you for coming to the house, Lord. Please stand together as we just close with this song. Then after this song, you are dismissed and free to go and pray and enjoy your rest of your weekend.